time to join the American family Robinson again in Centerville. Windy Bill and young Bob Robinson have goaded Dick Collins into answering an ad in the Herald Personals column, asking for information about the heirs of one John Collins, who died in 1710. The orphan Dick scoffed at the idea that he could be an heir of the old gentleman, but a letter arrived from Chicago stating that Dick could be a legal claimant to vast estates and a baronetcy in Ireland, and advising a trip to Chicago to investigate other steps toward establishing his claim. We find Dick now sitting at his typewriter, staring dreamily off into space. Bob has just come up wearing his best conspiratorial air.
Hey, Dick, I mean Lord Collins.
Huh? What did you say?
I said, hey, Lord Collins.
Shut up. Do you want somebody to hear you? Where do you get that Lord Collins?
Well, that's what you call a guy that owns a baronetcy, isn't it? Let me see. Or should it be Sir Richard or Earl Collins? Or maybe even Duke?
I don't know, but whatever it is, don't call me by it. Well, not yet, anyway.
If it's Duke, they don't call you by your name at all. I know that. They call you by the name of the place you're Duke of. You know, like Sussex or Essex.
Uh-huh. Then I suppose I'm to be called Centerville.
Oh, no. You'd be called this place in Ireland you're the heir of. That Chicago guy didn't say where it was in Ireland, did he?
It's a good thing he didn't. If he had, you and Windy Bill would probably be trying to get me to take the next boat and go chasing over there.
You know, it's funny that in as small a place as Ireland, a whole baronetcy could be lying around loose in 1710 without anybody noticing it was vacant.
And the whole darn thing is pretty funny. I'd never even heard that they had baronetcies in Ireland.
Well, they must have. The guy said so. I suppose it must be some out-of-the-way place like Cassowary, maybe.
Cassowary?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a place in Ireland. I think it's a bird.
No. I'm sure it's a place in Ireland. Well, it'll do anyway till we find out for sure. That makes you the Baron of Cassowary, until further notice. That's it. You're a baron. Baron Cassowary. Gee, that sounds swell.
That sounds goofy to me.
Well, what you ought to do is get some stationery and put on it nothing gaudy, you know, just a coat of arms and your title, and then you could just say, temporary address, Centerville, USA. I could get Pete the printer to fix it up.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You're not to mention any of this business to a soul.
Well?
Or even refer to me in public as anything but Dick. I'm not going to be made a fool of just so you and Windy can get some fun out of exercising your imaginations.
All right. Don't get sore. I won't say anything about it. Just a matter of time, anyhow. Does Betty know yet?
No. And I don't want her to find out until the thing is certain. She'd either get her hopes up and have to be disappointed, or she'd laugh at me for being a fool, and that'd be worse. She already suspects that something's up.
You know, I think you're wise not to let her know. A thing like this would go to a girl's head, and she'd put on so many airs nobody could stand her. You know how sisters are. Now, me, I can take it in my stride. I expect to go right on being as democratic as anybody, even if my brother-in-law is the Baron of Cassowary. Why, I was telling Gwendolyn just last night...
You were what?
I just barely mentioned it. I made her swear not to tell anybody. All I said was that in a little while the people in this town were going to be setting up and taking notice. And that, of course, made her curious. She was at me and at me to tell her what it was about. And...
Oh, I might just as well have put it on the front page.
No, I didn't tell any of the details. I just said that I was about to become a relative of a member of the nobility. But it wouldn't make any difference between her and me. I'd go right on taking her to the movies on Saturday nights, just as if nothing had happened. Of course, I don't know as I could go so far as to marry so far beneath me, but, well, we could still be friends.
Say, she should have shown you the door. I never heard such blasted idiocy in my life. It'll serve you right when this whole thing blows up into space.
It won't blow up. You know, I've always thought there was something different about you, Dick. I never knew just what it was, but now I do. It's a kind of a noble look.
Gee, do you think so?
Yeah.
Oh, rot. There's nothing noble about my mug. It's just a good, honest face with no nonsense about it. Still...
The only trouble with you is you haven't got the right attitude. You don't seem to realize the responsibility. Why, you ought to be in Chicago right now conferring with this guy on what you ought to do to establish your claim.
But I can't go to Chicago without Betty knowing why. And how about your father? He's not going to give me time off to go running up to Chicago on a wild goose chase after a title.
You don't have to tell Dad what it's about. He's a good egg. You wouldn't have to tell him anything except that you've got to go to Chicago on private business. As for your wife, well, it's a fine thing if you can't even take a day off to go to Chicago without having her consent in writing. I never thought you'd be a henpecked husband. Tied to your wife's apron strings.
I am not a henpecked husband. And if I made a point of it, I could go to Chicago for a week without having to explain to Betty.
Well, why don't you go?
Because I don't want to hurt her feelings by going off without explaining.
Oh, Baron Cassowary refuses fortune on account of wife's feelings. That'd make a fine story, wouldn't it? And this is the last of the noble line of the Collinses of Cassowary. Oh, you make me sick.
But you don't understand, Bob. Oh, well. Sir Richard Collins. Lord Collins. Baron Cassowary. Hooey. Sir Richard Collins.
Dick, you got a minute to spare?
Huh? Sure, Mr. Robinson. You want me?
I want to know what's been happening to your stuff lately. You've been handing in some rather peculiar copy.
Why, what's wrong with it?
Well, practically everything. I've had to blue pencil about half of everything that was handed in the past week. I thought it was just a slump at first, but now it's assuming the proportions of a collapse.
Why, I hadn't realized anything.
Well, now, take this story about Mrs. Peters' anniversary party. Small thing, but it's typical of what you've been doing. You wrote it up in fine style. But you said she was married on June 15th, 1710.
1710?
Yeah.
Great Scott, it's going to my head now.
Well, something's going to your head. If the copy reader hadn't caught that, Mrs. Peters would have had her husband around here with a shotgun. And that's the most trivial mistake you've made in the past week.
What else?
Well, it's not half as serious as this one. Here, look at this. The most important local story that's broken this week. The 20th anniversary of Dave Markham's private pension plan for employees, and look what a hash you made of it.
Why, I couldn't have messed that story up. There must be some mistake. Why, I thought that was the best thing I'd done in a long time.
Oh, you did, eh? Well, listen to this. When interviewed, Mr. Markham stated, "My plan is nothing when compared with other proposed pension plans."
Well, that seems to be all right.
All right. Dave Markham never made such a darn fool statement as that in his life. I thought I was seeing things when I read it. Fortunately, I called him up to ask him what the dickens he'd said. The quote, Mr. Collins, should read, "My plan is something definitely accomplished when compared with other proposed old age pension plans."
Gee, I must have misunderstood what he said.
Not only what he said, but what he meant. He even explained it to you in the next paragraph. "My plan was built upon a modest scale, but I expect to increase that scale as and if recovery gathers headway. Only by keeping a balance between distribution and production can we attain prosperity. And prosperity is the only secure foundation for the social security toward which we're aiming."
I don't know what I was thinking of when I misquoted him.
Well, I know. You were thinking of this gaudy new scheme which seeks to have the government fork over a couple of $100 every month to everybody of retirement age. You can't pin endorsement of that on Dave Markham. No, sir, he wouldn't stand for it. Dave and every other sound-thinking, responsible citizen who knows the futility of trying to get something for nothing realizes that a plan like that would defeat its own end by making that couple of $100 completely worthless. It would bring about inflation. I suppose you've heard of inflation?
Well, sure. Inflation is, it means money becomes worthless, doesn't it?
Very good, Dick. Well, the fog appears to be lifting. This public pension plan appeals to people who think that income means dollars. It isn't the number of dollars you get that counts. It's the amount of goods and services you can buy with those dollars.
Well, sure, I can see that.
And that's the kind of darn foolishness you put into Dave Markham's mouth.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Robinson. I don't quite understand what's wrong with me. It must be because I have something on my mind.
Well, I don't like to see my best reporter cracking up like this. What is it, Dick? Trouble at home? You and Betty have been quarreling?
Oh, no more than usual. Well, you know, nothing serious.
Yeah.
She will make the coffee twice as strong as any mortal man can stand.
Yeah.
But then I always scatter ashes on the rug. Well, aside from those minor irritations, we get along swell.
Well, and that couldn't account for it. Well, maybe you've been overworking. That business of the paper being threatened with bankruptcy was a strain on all of us. Maybe you need to knock off for a couple of days.
What? Yeah. You want me to take some time off?
Well, if you're going to stay, it might be a good idea. And, frankly, the paper would be just as well off without the kind of reporting you've been doing lately.
Has Bob or Windy Bill been talking to you?
Not about this, no. No, this is my own idea. Maybe if you took a little trip. If you got away from it all for a day or so.
Time off. A little trip. It's fate, that's what it is. Can I go right away, now?
Well, now, I don't see why not, but what's the rush?
I can just make the 320 if I rush.
The 320? But where are you going? You haven't got a bag?
I can't stop. I've got to get some stationery. I mean a haircut and a new hat. A noble hat. A Baron Cassowary hat.
My sainted hat. Now, wait a minute, Dick. What about Betty, and where are you going?
Oh, yes, Betty. Look here, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah?
Would you explain to Betty that I've gone stale, see? And you're sending me away for my own good, and all right.
Oh, but great heavens, Dick, you can't dash off like this. I can't tell Betty a thing like that. Think of me. Betty will blame me for this performance, and so will Myra. Well, I'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, I'll fix it up when I get back. Now, you're a diplomat. You can handle it. I'll send you a picture postcard.
But, Dick, Bye. You can't do this. You're... Oh, my sainted aunt.
What's the matter, Dad? Well, what's all the shouting about? Huh? Where's Dick rushing off to? Some hot news tip turn up?
Oh, don't ask me what's up. All I know is Dick's rushing off somewhere, and he's left me to explain to Betty.
Run off? Run? Where'd he go? Did he say? Is he going out of town?
Well, I don't know. He just suddenly leaped to his feet, said he was going to buy some stationery and a hat and catch the 320. Seemed perfectly normal up to that point. I don't understand it.
He's done it, Dad. That's what he's done. Boy. Now we're all set, and the stationery, too.
Hmm?
I knew he'd listen to reason if I worked on him long enough.
Say, you appear to know something about this. Say, what's going on? Where's he going, and what for?
Well, he's going to... I almost slipped.
Huh?
I can't tell you, Dad.
Oh, you can't. Well, you can tell Betty, then. And I'll be more than glad to turn that job over to you.
No, I can't tell her either. I can't tell anybody. But you'll find out soon, so will she, and... Well, you'll be surprised.
Right?
We're all gonna be rich, and... I can't tell you.
Yeah, you've told me enough. Uh-huh. I see Windy Bill's fine brother-in-lawish hand in this, and I also see trouble ahead. Well, I'm out of it, thank heaven. I don't know anything about it. Now, you better go on over and tell Betty that her husband has left for parts unknown for a purpose equally vague. And the sooner you tell her, the better.
No, Dad, I can't tell
her.
No, I'd have to swear I didn't know anything about it. Well, I know Betty, and she'd either make me tell her or swear I didn't know. And, well, I can't swear to a lie.
No.
You wouldn't want me to do that, Dad, but... You tell her.
Well, I don't know why I should be the goat for some peccadillo you and Dick are engaged in.
Well, gee, you wouldn't want to see the marriage busted up, would you?
Well, of course not, I
wouldn't. Well, that's just what'll happen if you don't tell her. Now, look, see, I'll help you out. I'll get her on the phone for you, and you talk to her. Hey, Dot, will you get me Betty's house?
Now, look here. You can't railroad me into this. I refuse to get mixed up in any marital squabbles between Betty and...
Hello, Betty. Dad wants to talk to you.
I do not.
Yeah, it's important. Here she is, Dad. Now, go to it. You know how to handle her.
Betty? Betty, I have something to tell you. It's about... Now, I didn't have anything to do with this, Betty, and I want you to understand that, first of all. What? Well, you see, it's about Dick. No. He's all right, physically. He's just gone. Well, I don't know where.
Oh, I tell you, I have nothing at all to do with it.
And poor Luke takes the rap again. What will happen to young Dick Collins in Chicago? Will he find himself heir to a baronetcy and a fortune, or to a practical joke? And will Betty be an understanding wife, or are there shoals ahead for Dick's domestic happiness? Join us on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.